Quite a few prayer requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Wes Willis, if you don't mind, to come and pray over these tonight. But we'll just go through these. Sister Erica Parker, sick tonight, unable to be in church. Brother Terry Horn would also like for us to remember Sister Alice Horn. She's been very sick. Let's remember her. Ben Lawson turns in a request for his niece, sick, got a fever of 102 this evening. So let's definitely remember that. Brother Bobby Hayton would like for us to remember his aunt, Thelma Lewis, very ill this time, not expecting her to live very long. Asking for prayer for her family at this time, for strength and courage. Brother Eric turns in a request for Sister Laura Krause, severe nausea for several, 3 days now. So let's remember that. Unspoken prayer request for God to move in a desperate situation. Sister Janet Kennedy is having medical tests done Friday. Pray that everything will be all right. Also pray for Sister Jill Fleeman. She's a bit weary of so many dressing changes and needs strength of a special touch from God. Also remember Brother Anthony, as he's a very big help to her. She's confessing her healing and thanks everyone for their prayers. Also remember Brother Harvey Lunsford had surgery yesterday. He's in the intensive care at Franklin Woods. The family requests no visitors. I didn't know that before. I went and saw him today, but I hadn't read that yet. But they appreciate your prayer sincerely. I went and saw Brother Harvey today. He's pitiful. He's just in pain, NG tube, a lot of things that he wasn't expecting after surgery, and just very, very uncomfortable. And I know he would covet your prayers tonight. Let's remember Brother Harvey. Also, a prayer request for Sister Gracie Murray. That's Matthew and Julie's daughter. She's having an unexpected surgery this evening. Let's remember that. Brother Warren Arndt got good news back from his MRI. It showed the tumor has shrank significantly. So thank the Lord for that. Let's give the Lord a hand for that tonight. And they plan to give his lungs a little more time to heal before they start the next treatment. So let's remember him and that family in prayer. Pray for Brother Bert and Sister Barbara Gravely. Victoria Thomas called to request prayer for her daughter April. She passed out last night, been having some eating disorders. She asked that we keep her and her family on a prayer list. Also, Linda Kreger, been sick for several days, fighting a cough. She needs a healing touch and strength in her body. And also, Sister Linda wants to thank the Lord for his healing touch for a woman in West Virginia by the name of Lori. She's been taken off the ventilator, was able to eat last night. Soon she'll be going to rehab to continue her recovery. So we thank the Lord for that. Unnamed request here. Someone with a 26-year-old daughter comes home under some substance abuse most of the time, affecting me, hard to live with her. She just really requests that we pray for her. Brother Baker, have prayer for Sister Christine, very sick, unable to be in church tonight. So they thank God in advance for her healing. So let's stand tonight as Brother West comes, and let's just take these needs to the Lord tonight.
Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you so much for the good news about Brother Arndt. Lord, we've been just praying and believing and watching the family, Lord, and we're just so grateful, Lord, for some good news there. We're just so thankful for your healing power, Lord. Lord, each of these requests here are just there's two testimonies here, Father. There's one that's a testimony of war. We're in battle after battle after battle. But the thing is, we've already won this battle. And we look to you, our captain, and we just keep going on day after day, and we're waiting for that last day, Father. We're believing, Lord. We're just so grateful, Lord, that even though we may as individuals get weary at times, get wore down, be fighting different kinds of sicknesses, different kinds of losses, different kinds of troubles that come against us, Lord, there's always this army moving on, going forward, never stopping, never losing, Lord. We're not going to lose one soldier. We're not going to leave one behind. There's not going to be one feeble, one sick, not one crippled, nothing, Lord. We're not leaving anybody behind because you're going to raise every single one of these up, Lord, that look to you with faith. We believe that with our whole heart. We know that, Lord. We don't have to doubt it. We don't have to worry about it. We can lay it in your hands and we can trust you completely because you're the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. We love you with all of our heart. We worship you, Lord. We can't say enough, Lord. Our feeble minds cannot muster the words to praise you and give you the glory that you deserve, Lord God. And we're just so thankful that we can come together, that you've made us, Lord, you've given us revelation and made us able to come together and worship you and have communion with you, Lord God, and hear your words and speak to you, and you speak back, Father. It's such a glorious blessing to be here tonight and to worship the mighty God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for my brother who's back there right now praying, who's studied and prepared himself, Lord. I ask you to just come out here, Lord, and set him aside and speak to us again. Lord, we're just so thankful. Again, I just want to tell you how grateful we are for everything you're going to do, Lord. Each person who put in one of these requests can trust, Lord, that you are moving in their situation because we're believing with them, Lord. And we just thank you again for this opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can be seated tonight. You know, I saw something at work today that reminded me of quite a few years back. A gentleman came into work, and it was on this particular day, and he had black smudged across his forehead. You know, it's Ash Wednesday, and I told him he had something black on his head. And he said, it's lint. And I said, no, it's black. It's black. It's stretched all there. And he said, do you not know what lint Ash Wednesday is? I said, I do not. And of course, they had a good laugh at me, rightfully so. But I got to thinking about that today. It's funny, but at the same time, it's pitiful. I'm just so thankful, and we should all be so thankful to come here tonight. No ritual, no intercessor between God and man other than Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm thankful for truth tonight. Amen. Let's sing that man in the middle. Indeed. Let's sing I Love That Man in the Middle. The simplicity of the gospel. Well, there was a mountain. There were three trees. There was a good man. And there were two feet. A man called Barabbas was due for the tree. But Jesus took the middle one, and Barabbas went free. Sing it with all your heart tonight. I love that man in the middle because I know. Second verse. A cue called Golgotha, the place of a skull. No yellow flowers, no trees in bloom. The scenery was so dull. Three crosses. Against a darkened sky,
not from pain, but a broken heart that middle man died.
Saved by grace in G. I think Sister Tamika Brown has a song for us tonight. You'll just make your way in a minute just up here to get ready to sing. Let's sing this together tonight, Saved by Grace. Another simple thing that I believe.
Well, I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. But Jesus shined a light on me. He turned on my night today. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the Lamb's book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. When I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought me to the other side. Just when I reach that city, and the gates swing open wide, I'm gonna sing redemption's story of how he brought us to the other side.
Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the Lamb's book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. Saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the Lamb's book of life, and my sins are washed away. Saved by grace. Saved by grace. It's not what I deserve, but I'm saved by grace.
Amen.
I came across a quote, and it says that it's easier to raise strong children than it is to repair broken men. And as my children come up, I want to raise them in a good way. And I want to encourage them to do whatever God calls them to do. It just so happens to be that their mom and dad sing. That doesn't mean they're going to become singers or be a singer. But whenever they want to do it, or whenever mom or I ask them to sing and they want to do it, we want to encourage them to do it. And I just want to encourage the parents tonight, those of you who have children, just keep holding out. If you fall flat on your face, keep that image before them of Jesus Christ and encourage them as much as you can. So, God bless you.
Holy, 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 holy.
Sure appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand tonight as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. Let's just sing this song together. We're not sure what key, but...
Peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Peace of God, cover me through the storm. Cover me.
Sing that again.
Peace of God, cover me. Cover me. Cover me. Peace of God, cover me through the storm.
Sing that only.
Cover me.
Only in you I'm safe.
You're glad he's there to help us. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 21, verse 17. I'm as happy to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Continuation of the book of Acts. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Luke kind of says that in a way that it's sort of surprising. He wasn't sure if he was going to or not. And remember, part of the trips that Paul has made back, it's caused a turmoil. It's fixing to again. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James. And all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe. And this is the catch. And they are all zealous of the law. So now they're Christians, but they're law keepers. Sabbatarians, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Tabernacles, Paschal lamb, all kinds of things. This is why they need Paul. They don't think they need Paul, but they need Paul. Because Paul is ahead of their understanding. Praise the Lord. Now listen to this. How many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Now these brothers, it's as if though they are bragging about it. These are Christians, but man, they're still doing what Moses said, and we're so proud of them. And they are informed of thee. Uh-oh. They are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Now, if somebody can answer this for me tonight, I'll give you $1,000,000. Why is it people would rather believe a lie on a preacher than believe the truth? Yeah, 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Oh, you missed it. This is a lie. Paul never taught the Jews this. He taught the Gentiles this. But they simply twisted it just a bit. Now you can imagine, you're coming to town, and all these thousands of people are there to greet you. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much tonight. We're thankful, Lord, whenever you inspired Luke to begin to write the word, that he didn't just write about signs and wonders and miracles, though we love to read those things. Those things are so important and so much a part of who you are and a part of who we are. But yet we're grateful that Luke wrote many other things in the book of Acts than just about miracles. Now here it's been several Wednesday nights that we've looked at this. Not one miracle have we saw, verse after verse, chapter after chapter. So it helps us to realize that the book of Acts, the continuation of the book of Acts, isn't just about signs and wonders. It is about that. But it's more about the move. It's about everything inclusive in the move of God, which is trouble, difference of doctrine, all kinds of things that go with that move. Speak to us tonight once again. Would you, Lord, be mindful of the needs of your people in Jesus' name. And the saints said, Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It must have been something. As they sat there and listened to the personal narrative of this prophet of God, he's been allowed to travel into different cities, countries, see things that the rest of the brethren there have only read about. And yet, the original brothers, and there are some of them there that were part of the original move of God, they heard the things that Paul was saying, but they picked it up that it was not being said in arrogance and pride. You and I both know that there are preachers that can stand and testify of things that they have seen God do, whether it's healings, miracles, signs, wonders, whatever it is that God is doing. And there's other preachers that can say some of the same things. And there's something about the attitude that they bring it just really, really bothers you. And you think, what is it about? You see, God hates arrogant spirits. And some people can give a testimony in the spirit of arrogance and pride, and it really totally wipes out the effect of that testimony because they're more or less bragging on themselves instead of bragging on what God done through them. Now, you know, to me, that's one thing about listening to Brother Branham as I started listening many, many years ago, and I still continue to listen to this day. And the thing that you don't pick up about him that I did in Pentecost and the different ones that I knew back there, and that was that he was always bringing the honor and the glory back to God and not himself. Even with the picture of the pillar of fire, I shared it this week with some brothers, minister brothers, on a text where Brother Branham said, talking about him himself in the pillar of fire, the picture being taken, he said he would never commercialize that picture because God had allowed himself to be taken with Brother Branham. And you think, he said, he would not belittle himself or be that little in order to make himself commercialize that picture of the pillar of fire because he had such honor. Oh, my. But look how a lot of the message folks do it. They turn it right around.
It's as if, though, the honor is on Brother Branham instead of being on God. Come on now, don't get quiet already. Same way with preacher. Well, my pastor prayed for me, and this happened and that happened. Well, that's all well and good. But don't take the honor away from God and give it to your pastor. Leave the honor where it belongs, and that's on Almighty God. Thank God for the man that had faith to pray for you. Thank God for the prophet of God that could stand there and God could come down and take his picture with him. But the honor was not to Brother Branham. The honor was to the kingdom of God. Now, I'm sure that when the brethren hear this, notice how that Luke wrote this. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord. They glorified the Lord. Now, listen how Paul is able to bring these miracles and signs. Now, they went from one city to another. And the Greek word that Luke writes here is actually a word which gives great descriptive detail. So, Paul is going from one city to another and giving a lot of things. And we prayed for people, and God laid this on my heart. And he had to say personal things that God spoke to me to preach this, and I felt led the Lord to say that. But there's a way to say that, to where that the hearers know that you're simply incorporating yourself into the story, but the glory is not going to you, it's going to Almighty God. And the brothers now being maybe a little bit touchy with Paul, because remember, they're not even sure themselves. James was more convinced probably than some of the elders, but they were totally unaware. They're basically going to even ask Paul the question to thereby identify himself. Where do you stand on these things, brother? But as he began to talk, the very epitome of what he was seeing God do by just them being around him a little bit, they perceived within themselves that this man's motive was right, his objective was right, everything that they heard in just a matter of minutes, they was totally convinced this was a man of God. Notice, and Luke says, and they said unto him, thou seest, brother. Now they glorify God, and they're so grateful to what God has done. And they're glorifying. Now the words here that Luke used was, it was not a single act, but a continual praising. So they just kept praising and praising. And Paul would talk about being in this one, say, oh, say glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I sit back in the office sometimes, and I talk to Brother David when he's been over here and over there. And Brother Darrell, where you brothers been? Well, I've been here and there, and I'm just sitting there, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That's wonderful. This is the word that they used. It was a continual praising. So it wasn't once and then stopped. But each city, each thing that said, oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord. And they felt like they could give their praise because the brother's motive and objective was absolutely right. Don't you love hearing that same thing today? Now notice in what they do. Now they identify Paul, and they said, thou seest thou, brother? My, this must have been a wonderful thing for these brothers to call him a brother. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews. Now, the Greek actually reads how many tens of thousands or myriads. Now, the Greek word for myriad is a thousand. So you take those thousands and then they was multiplied tens of thousands. Now, think, we're talking about Jerusalem and the outlying areas. Oh, you say, but I didn't think that the church was just a real tiny small group. But remember, the Antichrist has already started riding his white horse. When they preached on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added. Then another 5,000 was added. But if you'll notice, it does not say anything about them getting the Holy Ghost. It just says they were added. Now, some of them no doubt were genuine. And some of them no doubt did get the Holy Ghost. But there was this false bride move that had already started. Now, look at it right here. It is. And there's already tens of thousands that are following the message, the apostolic message, so-called, in this first age. It's about 27 years now when this is going to be written after that this happened initially on the day of Pentecost. So it's several years that has passed. And there's a whole bunch of believers. Now watch what they're going to do. They're going to lay this now out to Paul. How many thousands of Jews or how many tens of thousands there are that have believed? 27 years now have passed since this has happened. But notice what gives away that they are not people that have obtained so far the full revelation of the atonement of Christ. And that is the key words that Luke writes when he says that they are all zealous of the law. Now, this is where the word zealot would come from in the first century. Now, for those of you that are familiar with some of the zealots that was there, and they would go around and burn buildings and burn grain, and they would try to take the Roman taxes and do all this in the first century. That's actually the zealots is the one who survived the Masada. It was the zealots. So this is the word that they used to describe a zealot. So here we have Christian zealots. So they believe in Jesus, they believe in the cross, and they believe in the blood, so-called, but they don't believe in the power of the blood enough to release them from the Mosaic law. So here we have those that are filled with the Holy Ghost, born of the Spirit of God, and they will keep some of these certain things, basically for offense more than anything else, but they do not see it as necessary or essential to salvation. But there are thousands that are gathering around this bride move, which also say they believe in Jesus, they believe in the blood, they believe in mercy, but they believe you've still got to do all these other things, and they're still hung up on Moses. Praise the Lord. Now, you know, you understand that God knew exactly what he was doing when he diversified the gifts that are in the body. And Paul, being a Jew, you would think in one sense he would have held on to Judaism as long as any of the brothers, because he was a very staunch Jew himself, come under the feet of Gamaliel, which was one of the great outstanding teachers of that day. And you know, when Gamaliel died, they said, as far as Rabbans were concerned, Rabbi Rabban, the Jewish word Rabban, whenever Rabbi Gamaliel died, that it was the prince of all the Rabbans which had ever lived. And there was an error that had come to an end. So he must have been a very fine teacher of a man. But yet Paul, you'd think, would be one that was so strict to hold to the law. But God, by grace, had advanced this man in the revelation, and he had excelled, hold on now, Peter, James, and even John at this time. So many of the brethren there in Jerusalem, they were kind of touchy with Paul. Now, you know, a man cannot help this if God advances him above his brethren. Now, notice, so here are tens of thousands that are now believing, and they love God, and they accepted Jesus, and they, you know, it makes you wonder how far they really went into the ultimate sacrifice. And as I've quoted to you a couple times already, that God had Paul to write the book of Hebrews to convince the Hebrews to stop being Hebrews. Because the book of Hebrews is not written to the Romans. And if you read the book of Hebrews, as he goes into the sacrifice and the atonement, all that that is there, it is basically addressed to the Hebrews, because the Romans have already advanced beyond the Hebrews. Oh my. Now, there's wonderful things in the book of Hebrews, but take the context of basically what's being dealt with, and he's spending all these many, many chapters, or much of it, to try to show the Jews that Jesus completed and fulfilled, and those sacrifices are done away with, while they are still struggling. Some of them go to church and shout and jump around, speak in tongues a little bit, and leave the New Testament church and go over to the tabernacle and offer an atonement for sin. So they come to the house of God and hear these men preaching. Oh, glory, preacher, brother, hallelujah, amen, amen. And then go out and build out a booth or something like that for Sukkoth, tabernacle. And they go to keep the Feast of Trumpets and the wave sheaf and the Passover. You know, it reminds us of some of these message folks that want to go back to that same thing. Oh, I know you're not aware, but there's a group of message folks that still keep them same feasts. Praise the Lord. I'm not a Jew. Brother Donnie, when are you going to get your prayer mat? God give me bones to pray on, not a mat. Somebody asked me one day this week, said, when are you going to get your prayer mat? I said, I'm more concerned about a prayer life. I don't need a pillar of fire nightlight. I have a nightlight. I am a light in the night. Well, glory. Oh, you didn't know that's for sale? Yeah, there's prayer mats for sale. And pillar of fire, fire lights. Nightlights. Well, hallelujah. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. The gospel should not be commercialized. The gospel should not be something that we try to sell and buy and make money off of. That's not what the prophet of God brought this message for. Oh, hallelujah. No, so they are kind of straddling the fence, as we'd say in one way. So they are keeping the law, and yet they say they believe in the blood of the Lord Jesus. But let's give them a little bit of credit in the sense of understanding that James is there. When you read the book of James and you realize that James himself does not really have a great perspective as far as the Gentile bride. And you look at Peter and some of the other brethren that are there, and God picked Paul to advance him. So it'd be like this. If I was here in Happy Valley, we never had any outside ministers, and I only had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to preach from. And then we'd get a visiting minister that would come in, and he had the book of Hebrews. And my Hebrews, reading out of the book of Hebrews, and we're thinking, my goodness, that is absolutely wonderful. Where in the world did you get that? Oh, it's part of the other New Testament that y'all don't have here. Well, this is the way that it was for many of those Jewish Christians. They were so happy, and they were so satisfied because they can have the best of the Mosaic Law, and they can have the best of Christianity, so they are a Jewish Christian. Sort of like we got Church of Christ message people, Pentecostal message people, Baptist message people. And they want the Baptist part of this and the message part of that. And the Pentecostal part of this and the message part. You better die to that old thing and get born again by Malachi 4. Now, watch. He says, the brethren said, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. So they're zealots. I mean, buddy, they believe in keeping that law, and they won't walk but so many steps on the Sabbath day, and they won't do this, and they won't do that. Mm-mm. They believe in Jesus of Nazareth. Oh, they acknowledge that they really need a Savior, but they also need the law. Now, they are informed of thee. My, my. Now, no doubt the devil had some of these folks, when they heard that Paul was making his journey back to Jerusalem, some of them got a burning desire in their hearts to go in front of him and to sow discord. Oh, my. They are informed of thee. Now, I wonder who it was that informed them. Well, whoever it was hadn't told them the truth. They are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews. Now, listen. That thou teachest all the Jews. There is not one place written in any of the sermons that Paul preached up to this time that Paul directs the Jews to stop keeping any of these things they're about to say. But you see, folks don't need the truths. They make up things. That's what makes gossip so juicy and oozy and stuff. Come on, friends. You know it as well as I do. Truth sometimes is just plain. Truth sometimes is just plain. It's not all glittered up. It don't all shine. It's not all magical. And that's why folks can't have truth. They have to have something that glitters and shines and ooey and gooey. We're not talking about chewing gum. We're talking about the truth. But the truth, many times, is just not enough for folks. So they have to doctor it up, and they're going to fix this man. Oh, my. Notice now, thou teachest that the Jews, which are among the Gentiles, to forsake Moses. Now you imagine some of these brothers sitting there, and they would stoop to such a degree to ask this preacher this. As somebody contacted me not long ago and said, Brother Donnie, somebody told me that you didn't believe in the blood of Jesus no more. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I want you to do. I want you to go back to that liar who told you that and tell them that I said they are a liar and they will go to hell for lying. That's a good way to stop a lot of that stuff. But what do people do? They spread it. They spread. Now, this is exactly what's happened here. Fake news. Poor Mr. Trump thought he was the first one to get it. Now, they are informed of thee that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they not ought to circumcise their children. Now, Paul never said any such thing. He did teach circumcision no longer was necessary. But he never specifically addressed it toward the Jew. So they took part of this and part of that and part of this and part of that, and they put it together and they foreran Paul. And by the time Paul got there, these people was madder than a bunch of hornets. Buddy, you go to taking Moses away from them, they'll kill you. Message, folks, a lot of them ain't too far behind that either. Oh, my. Now, notice he says, which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. Oh, my. Walk after the custom. Now, this was not true at all. Not true at all. Paul never taught such a thing. But you realize rumors aren't necessarily based on fact. They only need a little bit of truth to them at all in order to make it, and people just go with it. And here's saying that's exactly what's going on right here. And we'll find what that leads to. My, it leads to an absolute turmoil. And many of these Jews that are still clinging to the law, they didn't allow Paul no way. And maybe some of these Christians, maybe it was their aunts, uncles, daddies, grandpas, whatever more, that Paul had them thrown in jail. And they're still holding a grievance against him. Oh, my. Notice, what is it therefore? Now, look what they do. What is it therefore? The multitudes must needs come together. So here these brothers, the preachers and the elders are saying, is this true? Is this true? Tell us. I mean, we need to know, because the people are going to come together. You imagine Paul thinking, my brothers, why would you believe this? But I love his attitude. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together. They're not coming for church. They're not coming for prayer. For they will hear that thou art come. And if you're in town, they are going to show up. Now, that right there tells you it's people with the wrong attitude. They're not coming for help. They're coming because this man's coming. They're seeing if they can punch him out. They're seeing if they can do something to cause turmoil. It shows they've got a problem. The problem ain't Paul. The problem's within themselves. Oh, you said so-and-so would get out of my life. And if I could get rid of this and get rid of that, you're your worst enemy. It ain't so-and-so. Is this true or not? They're going to come together. We done know it. We've done heard the rumors going on. It's all over Facebook. It's all over YouTube. It's everywhere. They've done passed the words. You're coming. Please, brother, tell us. Is this the truth? Are you saying we should forsake the prophet? Are you saying we shouldn't play tapes in church? Are you saying we shouldn't baptize in Brother Ram's name? I am. As a matter of fact, I'm telling you, you'll be lost if you baptize in any other name other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, as a pastor of this church, we're not bowing down to the image of any man, even if it is our prophet. That's the reason Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into the fire, because they wouldn't bow to the image of their prophet Daniel. Neither will we bow. We will not bow to the pressure. He was God's prophet. Amen. But he was a sinner that needed to be saved and needed to have the Holy Ghost. His blood was not holy. He was a man that needed to be converted, just like you and I. I will not bow to his name. I will not bow and worship. It must really be a nice call from God, where you can be like most of these guys. Most of those brethren there, James, the rest of the brethren, they could hang around them people. Never caused no problems at all. As soon as Paul comes to town, they're all tore all to pieces. You think he wanted that kind of ministry? You think he wanted this kind of reputation? Don't you know, Lord, if I got to be a preacher, at least let me be a peaceable one. Don't let me cause turmoil everywhere I go. Please, God, let me be a man that at least some people like, at least some. Oh, my. Notice in verse 23. Do therefore this that we say unto thee. And we figured this thing out, Brother Paul. We figured out a peaceful solution. We have four men which have a vow on them. Now this is a Nazarite vow. Now this is one of the ultimate vows of the Mosaic covenant. For the most part, it would be 30 days. Some 15, some 7. This was that they would not drink wine. They would not drink vinegar. They would not eat sour grapes. They would let their hair grow. Certain things they could do, not do. Couldn't touch a dead body. Couldn't go to a funeral. Several things that they could not do. So they said, we've got four brothers that are under this vow. Now listen, these are believing Christians. And yet they're still keeping the Nazarite vow. Why do you need to? The Nazarene has come. But look what they're done. They're still hanging to both. So they're saying, well, they believe the Nazarene, but these brothers wanted to be more holy, so they don't wear red to church. Or they don't do this, or they definitely don't preach out of an iPad in the pulpit, because that's just of the devil. And they don't do this and do that and do this and that and the other. Well, praise the Lord, saints. So the power of the Lord Jesus and what he had done was not enough. Now, you keep in mind that most of them had been raised in Judaism all their life. Was all they know. So everything was do this, don't do that, do this, go here, walk this far, do this, do that. So to believe they were a Christian on free will basis, that God gave it to them, that to be righteous was merely the imputation of divine work, you could see it would have been overwhelming. And Paul was advanced way beyond most of the rest of the preachers. And even the preachers, Peter wrote about Paul and said, our beloved brother Paul writes many things that's hard to be understood. Right? That shows you a difference between the prophet of the age and other ministers. So the brethren come up with a plan. Do therefore this, that we say unto thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. Now they are Christians, but they're weak ones. I'm not going to un-Christianize these people now. They are Christians, but they're weak ones. So those around the message who still want to keep the seven feasts, I'm not saying they're not message believers. I'm just saying that they're weak ones. They don't know very much. Paul said about in his day, I'm afraid of you that still keep Sabbaths and do this. That was 2,000 years ago. Well, praise the Lord. Now, this vow involved living this separated, ascetic sort of life, to where that they would be away. And my brother, this is what we think that you ought to do. Now, we really believe that if you do this, that it will prove to all these brothers and sisters that you are not preaching against the law, and you're not preaching against Moses, and you're really a believer, and it's just a misunderstanding. So what we want you to do is we want you to pay. Now, whenever they break this vow, and they will come in and offer all these sacrifices and so on, and then they'll shave their hair, which has not been cut for many, many days, and they will shave their hair, and they will offer it up before the Lord, and then they have to buy all of these sacrifices. All these brethren are poor. So what we want you to do is we want you to shave your head. Right there, I'd had a major problem. Now, my hair might not be pretty like some of y'all's, but it's mine, and I got it, and I like it. So we want you to shave your head, and then we want you to pay for all their cattle and oxen and sheep, because it's a pretty expensive thing. Now, this will prove to the brothers that you really believe the Mosaic law. But it didn't prove any such thing. Just caused him a real buzz, short haircut, and all this money that it took to get, and he liked to get, got killed. Now watch, in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying to them, whether either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite to separate themselves unto the Lord. He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he eat any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree or from the kernels even to the husk. All the days of the vow of separation shall be no razor come upon his head until the days be fulfilled. Now, what did this have to do with being a Christian? Nothing. But they couldn't let go. They couldn't let go. Oh my. Notice, he shall be holy. Now you imagine them thinking, all right, I'm saved and I've accepted the Lord and I'm holy, but if I do this, this will make me more holy. And I want to be more holy. How can you get any more holy than the blood of Jesus sanctifying you? Listen, and taking you further back than you was when you was a baby. When you got saved and really converted, you were more innocent after your new birth than you was when you come out of your mother's womb. When you come out of your mother's womb, you were still born in that touch of sin. But once you got born again, that's the end of that, brother. Now you imagine them in their mind wanting to be more holy. How can you be more holy than God? Oh my. Notice in verse 6, all the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, shall he come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or his mother. Now, if your father died, you couldn't go to his funeral. If your mother died, your brother died, or your sister when they died, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. This is Samson. This is what Samson was, a Nazarite. All the days of his separation, he is holy unto the Lord. So these Christians now, they want to be more holy than the Holy Ghost. They want to be more holy than sanctification. Well, hallelujah. That's why I have a problem, friend, with preachers. I don't care who they are, how big they are, fat, skinny, black, white, red, yellow, or pink, that want to add to the Word of God. They want to add to the message. Well, the Bible don't exactly say this, and the message don't exactly say it, but I believe I've got a problem. What I have a problem with them two words, I believe. Because you're trying to add a Nazarite symbol. Well, I don't think this and I don't believe that. I'm not interested in what you say. I'm not interested in what you believe. If the Bible don't say it and the prophet of God didn't declare it, I don't think heaven requires it. If the word of God in this hour is set forth, why do we want to keep adding to what's been said? Oh my. Now watch, the brethren have this all worked out, so they think. Take them. Now Paul, you're supposed to take these four brothers and purify thyself with them and be at charges. In other words, you'll pay for it. You pay for it, and that they may shave their heads and all may know that these things whereof they were informed concerning you are nothing. But thou thyself walkest orderly. Now listen to these brethren. Listen to these brethren. They themselves still believe this is part of a divine walk. Praise the Lord. Friends, I know you don't want to accept it. You don't want to believe it. But the spirit of organization was already moving right there in that Jerusalem church. If it's going to come from anybody, it's going to come from us. And you come in after us, Paul, and you've done all kinds of bad things, and how could you be ahead of us? God can do whatever he wants. If God wants to save some little old fella out here and raise him up, and in 5 years' time, he preaches circles around me and every preacher hearing this message, and do God can do whatever he wants to do. And we ain't going to tell him what to do. Was it their pride? What was it that they would say? Now, you know, just you've kind of overstepped this a little bit, so we just want to kind of check you out too and make sure, and we'll prove to everybody else that you're walking orderly. Now, you imagine he goes there and say, orderly? Amen. That thou thyself also walkest orderly and keepest the law. Take away any scandal, my brother, that's brought from you. Now, Paul knew he didn't need to do this. He wasn't a bit more holy than he was when he first started doing this the first day. But he's doing it for the sake of weak brethren. There's some brothers in this message don't think a preacher should wear a colored shirt. Gray, black, red, yellow, whatever more. Whenever I go to them areas where I know possibly them brothers will be, I take a white shirt. do it because I think, well, you know what? I could wear red and yellow and green, and I got all kinds of them. I like the rainbow myself. I like different colors. And I could go in there, but I think, you know, if that man showed up or some of his people showed up, that they probably wouldn't be able to receive from a preacher with a green shirt. They'd probably sat there green with envy all night. So if my colored shirt would offend them, why would I want to wear the shirt? Carol knows it's the truth. I told her a year or so ago I was going to a certain place. I said, remember, when you get my suits and you get my clothes, don't get anything but a white shirt, because this certain brother and some of his people may be there. And if they're there, it might really bother them. And if the Lord would have something for me to say, the devil might use that to hinder. Oh, you say bunch of babies? Well, I can agree with you on one degree. But yet, who would prove themselves to be the greatest one? Someone that would try to reach them, as long as it's not sin. Now, if you try to reach them and try to help them, I can wear a white shirt as good as a gray. I can wear a white shirt as good as a green or whatever more. And if it would cause them to stumble, guess what? I'll wear a white one the whole time I'm there if necessary. Does it make me more holy before God? It does not, because I've looked through the message and not found any requirement to wear only a white shirt when preaching. What is it? Tradition of men. Tradition. A lot of preachers don't like it because I take my coat off. If their body temperature was as hot as mine gets, they'd take theirs off too. Praise the Lord. So what do? You try to strike that line. Oh, God, help us. And Paul, here he comes. He said, God, please help me. I know this is not necessary. This has nothing to do with salvation. It has nothing to do with the plan of God. But I am willing. Why? It wasn't sin. Imagine Brother Branham when he was in Africa and he's fixing to hunt the lion, and the tribesmen got together and sat down with their mealy meal and poured their mealy meal out on a little leaf, calling on some god somewhere. Brother Branham sat right around the fire with them. He didn't call that evil god, but in respect to them, they believe this and they're afraid the lion might charge them. Oh, but a bunch of us, we'd went in there with a whip. Crack, man, we'd have smacked them on the back of you bunch of heathens, you. I wonder, friends, how much love and understanding we've really gathered from this word. My. Notice this. Take them and purify thyself of them, and be at the charges of them, that they may shave their heads. All may know these things. You're going to prove them wrong. Now, brother, go ahead and do it. You imagine some of them thinking, he won't do it. No, he won't. He's too arrogant. He's too proud. Paul said, I'll do it. Really? Sure. I have no problem with it. It's not going to add nothing to me. I'm not going to be closer to God. But if they're weak, I'll do it. As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing. Well, thank you, brothers. Listen at them. Now, they're just sounding like, man, that they cut you all a deal. I mean, y'all still are second-class citizens. Of course, you know that. But, I mean, we did alleviate all this stuff as far as sacrifices and circumcision and stuff like that. We just ask that you don't, you know, eat anything that's strangled with blood. And we ask that you abstain from fornication. And, you know, but we've been doing this to the Gentiles. So now you did this for us. This ain't a game we're playing. We have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered to idols, and from blood, and from strangled, and from fornication. Which the gospel already told them that anyway. Paul was already teaching them this. Praise God. Then Paul took them in, and the next day, purifying himself. Now friend, I do not believe, and you'll not convince me otherwise, that Paul went in there with a smirk. Or a grin, or this arrogant attitude, you bunch of carnal people. Yeah. I believe with all of my heart, Brother West, he went in there as genuine and sincere, absolutely to God, being grateful. He could do it knowing what the types were. You understand? He was there knowing this was the type at one time, God, I was blind. My, he might have broke out in tears saying, Lord, thank you. Now I know what this really is all about. And they probably looked at him and said, glory to God, he's got saved. He's coming back to the truth. He's coming back to the law. He wasn't coming back. He was grateful God had set him free. He saw the real truth of it. Aren't you glad? We could do the same thing. Oh my. Paul took them in the next day, purifying himself with them, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification, until that an offering should be offered for every one of them. Now you see, transactions like this, this is the way Paul related to it in 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free of all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I become as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law. As, not that he was, but as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law. To the Gentiles, Paul could sit down and eat sausage and eggs and pork chops and ham. He could sit right there and eat it right down. When he come to these Jews, he would cut his hair and do this and that and the other. Why? He was a man that knew the truth. He was free. He was free. Oh, praise God. Notice this now. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Do we do that, or do we make fun of them? Friends, this is a great man. This is a great person here who can become as the weak, that you might gain the weak, instead of ridiculing or making fun of the weak. Oh my. That I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I by all means may save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker thereof with you. Now here we come into a very, very dangerous part. Paul took the men. Now here goes Paul and the four men under the veil. The next day, purifying himself, entered into the temple to signify the accomplishment of the days of purification. Now he comes into the temple. There in the particular part, there was a script or a writing on the court of the Gentiles. On the outside in several colonnades of Herod's temple. And it was written to the Gentiles in Greek, Aramaic, different languages. Enter in beyond, if you are a Gentile, enter in at your own risk on the pain of death. Now, the place where the Nazarites were finally released from the Nazarite vow was a special little place where they would go. It was so sacred and so holy to the Jews. Now, here Paul goes with these four men. And when the 7 days were almost ended or come to an end, the Syriac version says, the Jews which were of Asia. Now listen, these are the guys who caused so many problems all back through Asia for him. The Jews which were of Asia, when they saw him in the temple, stirred up the people. I believe we've got some Jews from Asia that live in this church. Or let me say it this way, at least the same spirit that was on them Jews. There's all kinds of them same folks around the message. They stir up the people. They know how to stir them. Oh my. When they saw him in the temple, they stirred up all the people. Now here he's come with his offer. Now wait a minute. According to the brethren, this is supposed to convince them he's a believer. But it totally goes against them. Now listen how they're going to turn this. Stirred up all the people. Oh my. And laid hands on him. They wasn't praying for him either. In a violent manner. And they started dragging him. Oh my goodness. Crying out, men of Israel, help! Help! This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people. Against the people. So now here they are. The people's already on this high. They've been reading their Facebook page. you know, so-and-so pinned this and so-and-so liked that, and they even put it on Pinterest and YouTube, and, you know, they text one another and Skyped it and flapped it and flopped it and whatever more they had in those days to make the message known. I hear he's coming in. I hear he's coming in. We all better be there, church. My, my, we better be there on time. And when they see him, everybody gets a buzz, text it one time, Fox News going off, Yahoo, everybody gets the same thing. He's here, he's here, he's here. So they run in and they grab him, oh my, and then they say, brethren, brethren of Jerusalem, help us, help us. This is the man that teaches all men everywhere against the people. What people would that be? Can't you see? Can't you see? They stayed at first, their main problem. This man has the audacity to preach the Gentiles are chosen like the Jews. So they take it personally. He's preaching against the people. He's misplacing us. He's saying there's people out here that are going beyond us. Can't you see the holdover of Luther's denomination? That's their problem with the Wesleyan message. The holdovers of the Western message, that was their problem when the Pentecostal message came. May I go on? Can't you understand? That was the same thing with the Pentecostals when Brother Branham came. Oh, he's blasting us. He's blasting us. He's blasting the pastors. He's blasting. Let me go on a little further. When we come to the message of the hour, a lot of folks said the same thing. Why does he keep on blasting the message people? Why does he keep on saying this against Jeffersonville and this and that and the other? He's blasting the people. Why does he keep doing this and that and the other? It's to point you to a higher place. Our goal is not Jeffersonville. Our goal ain't Tucson. Our goal ain't Johnson City. Our goal is Jesus Christ. I'm not here tonight to point you to a man. I'm here to point you to the Lord God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. Oh my. This is a man that teaches all men everywhere. Notice the order. Now notice the slickness of demonic influence. He's here. This is the guy that's going around teaching everywhere against the people. Number one. And the law. Oh, forgive me. I should have said the law. And this place. I see. So the people takes first precedence. And then the law takes second. And then this temple, which is supposed to be the house of God, takes third. Well, at least it's honest. The difference between them and a lot of other folks is they just plain just ain't honest. Oh my, you talking about words to stir people up. And further, he brought Greeks also into the temple. Friends, this is lies. This is lies. But these people are fixing to get so furious, they would murder this man. Of course, they're very religious. They pull him out of the temple place and pull him to the outer court so they don't kill him, at least in the holy place. Are you talking about, are people nuts? Are they insane? They will murder. But they don't want to murder, at least in the holy place. Murder's okay as long as you don't do it in church. It's okay to murder this guy, but just don't get no blood up here on the altar. I mean, that's a mess, you know. This is the holy place. It's fine to murder. That's fine and dandy. I mean, this guy deserves to be murdered. Can you imagine to take a life? But they looked at the symbolism of the temple and thought, oh my, this is so holy, this is so holy. Was the temple made in the image of God? It was not man made in the image of God. If you get the temple consecrated, you can clean it up. If you take this man's life back, you can't give it back to him. Oh, Lord Jesus. This place. Notice now, they had moved. Paul had moved beyond the court of the Gentiles. There was no proof. No proof that Paul had taken one Greek. These type of people don't need facts. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me? Lord, we need a miracle about right now, don't we? I mean, this is what most folks think the book of Acts is. Miracles, signs, wonders, healing, talking in tongues, jumping. This is the book of Acts. Don't you understand where we are? Don't you understand why people hate us? You understand the only reason they won't do this to us today? Because it's not the allocation of their anointing yet. In the tribulation period, they will. Them same demons that was released on those Jews, they've come back now upon the bride, against the bride. Except they won't do it physically, but they kill you on Facebook. Or they kill you on YouTube. Or they kill you somewhere else. Come on now. The only reason they haven't already killed me around this message. The only reason they haven't done it is because God won't let them. Several years ago when I preached some pretty hard stuff, it was already a hit guy, which was a former army guy. That had already offered his services to take me out around the message. Why? Same demons that was right there in the temple have come right around us again. Oh, I know you don't want to hear that. You want to put it out, John and the Baptist. It ain't out, John and the Baptist. We need to open up our eyes and realize them same demons. Where was it? Right there in the temple at Jerusalem. It has surprised you to know I'm not the only one who's been talked about being hit with a hit man. Brother Tony, around the message, wake up. Wake up. The greatest concentration, the greatest damage Satan can do ain't out yonder. It's around this restored word. Don't that make you afraid? It does not. What makes me more afraid is that I'd be a coward and back off. Because I fear him more than I fear a man's rifle. I fear him more than I fear what people around the message can say or do to me. Praise the Lord. Oh my. Notice how they go to crying. They get the people all tore up. And they tell them, well, this man, he's preached against you all. And he's blasted your law. And he's blasted this temple. And you know what he's done? He's brought Greeks into this holy place. You know it's forbidden. Not one person said, where are they? Could we see them before we killed the guy? After all, doesn't their law require witnesses? Oh, but that don't matter, right? No, no, sorry about that. Now watch in verse 29 where this comes from. For they had seen before with him in the city Trophimus, an Ephesian, whom they... Continuation of the book of Acts. The power of supposition. So people suppose. The book of Acts is still going on, is it not? So they see him. Now some of these Jews from Asia, you know, whoever more far in, look at him. I'd like to mash him in the mouth. I tell you. Holy Ghost feel, huh? Yeah, buddy. Look at him, that Gentile dog. Guarantee he ain't even circumcised. I wouldn't care a woman to run over and ask him, are you circumcised? Don't look at him. And they sneak around, fall into the temple. I said, oh God! He brought that Greek into this holy place. Trophimus. Brother Trophimus, please stand. You honestly think this prophet of God would have brought this Gentile into that, knowing what it would have done, inflamed them people? Do they have truth? People like this don't want truth. They want mayhem. Praise the Lord. Oh my. So before was him, they seen him in the city Trophimus in Ephesian, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Now this is the same brother in Acts chapter 20 verse 4. And the Jews, he was with Paul in Asia, so they saw him there, and now they see him again on the street. So they suppose, and they saw him and Paul walking, and you know, Paul may have gone around down the street with his hand around, said, look at that, God have mercy. An iPad in a pulpit. Lord have mercy. No doubt made in China. Good Lord. A preacher in the pulpit with a lilac shirt on. A blue. Jim Babb, look at that. And he's got on tonight. Look at you people. Look at that shirt. preach against that in our church, and what scripture do you use? Look at all you sissified men in here tonight, got aqua on. Blue stripes. Lord have mercy. If I had a text, I'd preach on you, Ronnie, for wearing a red shirt to church. A deacon sitting there with an almost pink. Give me the scripture, brother, and I'll amen you and preach it with you. Praise the Lord. Don't you see, friend? Legalism. What is the bottom line? Then they want to become your absolute. Then you have to ask them, well, brother, is this color acceptable? Is this one okay? What color can I wear? What color can I not wear? Don't you see what they want to do? They want to become your absolute. I have one absolute, and that's the Word. The Word. Praise the Lord. But you know what? Here they come and they suppose, and he brings them in there and they start feeding all this stuff to the people. The people's already in this frenzy. In this frenzy. Exodus chapter 20 verse 16 says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Chapter 23 verse 1, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to an unrighteous witness. Deuteronomy 19:15, one witness shall not rise up against any man for iniquity or for any sin, and in any sin that he sinneth at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges which shall be in those days, and the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and have testified falsely against his brother, then shall you do unto him as he had thought to have done to his brother. But of course, these quotes weren't convenient. Were they? Praise the Lord. So what do folks do? They take what part they want. When they tried the Lord Jesus, according to their own law, it was forbidden to try a man at night. It was forbidden when the witnesses could not agree. And you know in your accounts, in Matthew and Luke and John, the witnesses did not agree. According to the way the law was written, they should have turned right around and tried those witnesses and crucified them. But their mind was already made up. They was going to get Jesus no matter what. And listen, friends, folks are under the same frame of mind today. If folks are going to turn on Brother Branham, we can disprove every story that they have. We can go and take every one of their stories and disprove every one of them and prove this and this and this and that. And when we get done wasting all of our time doing it, they'll already have a whole bunch more to try to disprove. So why should I spend my time eating all that junk and digesting all that junk, trying to discipline or straighten out, when I could spend all this time feeding on the Word in order to bring you to a higher place in Christ Jesus? So when I get done with you, you won't be sitting there like an old dumb, long-eared mule braying all day long, but you'll be saying, glory, hallelujah, amen. So you see, when folks have got their mind made up, if they ain't got no truth against you, they'll make up a lie against you. Oh, my. Now, is this effective? Let's close with this in verse 30. And all the city was moved, and the people ran together and took Paul and drew him out of the temple. And forthwith the doors were shut. You know what they have on their mind? Murder. They're fixing to kill him. So it goes from one to the other. Now you can imagine, by the time it got 40 feet out of the outer court, there ain't no telling what this tale sounded like. Time it got over to the fountain, time it got down to Big Lots and back over to Walmart and back over to, you know, the places they had in their day. There ain't no telling what in the world. And here come the whole city. Here come them. Now, it was such a mess that they had to call the captain of the guard out of the Tower of Antonia and send him down with several centurions. Every centurion had 100 men. Several thousand men had to come down and rescue Paul. And he turns around and asks Paul later, he said, "Are you that Egyptian?" He thinks he's the Egyptian, which has been the troublemaker, which has caused a great big bunch of trouble. And he thinks within himself, he's an Egyptian. They don't even know who he is. When they go to ask him questions, one person said one thing, another person said something else, another person said something else, another person said something else. Typical mob mentality. Sounds like our United States on it the last month and a half or 2 months. You hear some of these TV guys and reporter guys going to say, "Now you're out here, marching and doing this and that. What nations is it now that this immigration ban is against? Well, it's against Israel, it's against Germany, it's against..." You think, "Oh my goodness." Now I heard on how many different things on the radio where they're saying, "Yeah, no, it's against so and so and so and against Canada. Yeah, it's against Canada." And these people don't even know what they're talking about. But they're just rah, 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 rah. "Let's hang him, let's kill him, let's fry him, let's get rid of him. Ah, ha, ha. Why? I don't know. I just want to kill somebody today. I don't know." Lord, children, think of what an age we're living in. People are insane. Do you understand what's happened to this mob? Insanity. Insanity has grabbed this mob. And no doubt many of them were staunch Jewish followers. Where are their witnesses? Where's what Moses said? But you see, with the mob mentality, it no longer matters. The book of Acts, alive and well, wouldn't you think? Hallelujah. Oh my. So you mean this is the kind of life us Holy Ghost-filled preachers can look forward to? Let me tell you something, friend. I got an email from a pastor the other day. He was dealing with a problem long, long way from here. And he was asking me about some situations. And he said, "As I've often said, Brother Donnie, preaching is sometimes one of the easiest parts of being a pastor." My granddaughter Leah asked me the other day, she said, "Poppy, is it hard to be a preacher?" I said, "Yes, honey, it is." She said, "Is it hard to be a pastor?" I said, "Yes, it is." Well, I was just wondering. So I was sitting downstairs studying last night, and they was at my house, and I was getting Donald Trump emails. So I picked up my phone and said, "Look here, girls. This is from Donald Trump. It says right here in this email, they want me to help them." And they said, "You can't go to work from him. You got to be our pastor." I said, "All for the simplicity of a child. For the simplicity of a child." Ellie went around to the other room and said, "Donald Trump has texted Poppy twice." Now already it come from a mass Trump email, which probably all y'all got the same thing. It changed from a mass email to a personal text. And these little girls love me with all their heart. They weren't trying to make up nothing on me. Like, you can imagine a mindset like this. Can't you imagine, friends? This is why so many folks, when they left the message, this one had their input and this one had their, made the office big old gom and mess it ever was. Is a lot of it facts? Well, no. Not a bit more facts than this was. But what? It twists people's minds and raises questions. And then they join on the, "I never did believe in the first place." And one of the first things them women do, get their britches back on and this and that and other. Why? Shows the world never left their heart. Never left their heart. And they look at Brother Branham as a tyrant, and this message is something that held them. But you real bride, oh my. You don't look at these walls as prison walls. You look at them as castle walls. Woo! depends on how you look at it, friend. A big old tall wall can look like a prison or a castle. Just depends on your eyes. Don't you appreciate the truth? Oh, praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, how we appreciate your love and grace tonight, Father. I so thank you, Lord, for allowing Luke to write these things. I thank you, Father, that he didn't leave out the elementary stages of growth in the early church and the problems and the doctrinal issues and things that they had. I thank you, Father, that he was able to write about such things. We've already bleached these people out and made something out of them that's not true anyway. We've almost made them superhuman. But I think, Lord, especially this time in going through the book of Acts, you want us to see it wasn't the great phenomenal thing that you could use angelic beings, but you could use men. Men and women who were much like us today. Had fears, inferiorities, complexes, all kinds of things. Had different angles of which they looked at things. Different degrees of understanding, which caused problems even among the ministers. But yet, Lord, you was able to take that and accomplish the greatest thing, greatest work you had ever done outside of Calvary and the resurrection. And that was build a church. It's one thing to build a man, which is what you've done with the Lord Jesus. But if you just build a man, you only have one person. You have one mind, one spirit, one motive, one objective, one individual. That's a wonderful work. But when you're going to take and multiply that by millions and build a church, and by your own program of design, you chose to not make every one of them exactly the same in human makeup, even of the same race, with the same background. But they come from all walks of life, all different ways that they think and the way that they're made up. And you chose to make a mighty organism of faith out of the complexity of those individuals in that church. It's a miracle. To me, it's a greater work in that sense than just the one creation of Jesus Christ. What a great work that was. But in that sense, it was not the diversity that was there. Even in our own church, people of different walks, different backgrounds, different ministers that were here, different views, the way we look at things. And yet, if you by the Holy Ghost can pull us all together, we can all still have one common goal. And that is to bring the light and the truth. It's a greater work than if it was just one man to bring our own thoughts, our own ideas, and we can all overcome. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Lord, as we are being transported, as it were, on the palanquin, the bed of King Solomon, as we are surrounded by these guards, they're taking us to our husband. The guards are diverse one from the other. The people in the entourage different one from the other. And the bride there that's laying on the palanquin different from them all. But all heading to one common goal. The marriage of the King's son. Praise be to God. May that be our desire, Lord. May that be our goal in this place. May it not only be here, but around the world for your elect. We know that it will, Father, because it's your will. It's your plan that it be this way, which is a phenomenal, outstanding design and plan that only you could ever bring to pass. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord, that we're part of it. I so thank you tonight, Lord, that I am part of your great program. We love you tonight, Father. We thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. May you minister to the needs of your children, Lord. We have many sick. Lord, Brother Harvey having his procedure done, Lord, in his body. There in the hospital, we pray for him, Lord. We pray for Brother Warren, Lord. He still had some good news, but still needs some numbers and things to come up in his counts and his blood and so on. We pray for him. We pray for others, Lord, that have needs. Sister Shirley, Lord, possibly facing a procedure in her back. Lord God, we just pray you'd go among your people, Lord. that you'd minister, Lord. We know you're a God of miracles. We know you're a God of healing. Every chapter and every verse in the book of Acts does not contain a miracle, but it contains the God of miracles. So therefore, when we need them, they're here at our disposal. We call upon you tonight, Lord, to strengthen your people. Maybe there's some here tonight, Lord, they're not really sick. They don't really have a disease, but they just feel down or they're weary. May the presence of God minister to every heart here tonight, Lord. We love you, dear God. We worship you, Father, with all of our hearts. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so glad to be a part of the family of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you love him, saints? Aren't you grateful you're part of the great family of God? Think of it. People around the world tonight that you have never met, that you've never known and will never meet until we get there that day at the rapture. And they're believing the same apostolic truths that you believe. Our hearts have been restored. Thanks be to God. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brother Brandon Green's dad in the hospital again for very bad lung problems. Used to be a coal miner. Let's just pray for him right now, shall we? Heavenly Father, you see, Lord, this situation, Lord, in our brother's body. Lord, having been a coal miner, no doubt been affected by breathing all this dust over the years. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus you would touch him tonight. Lord, the damage that might have been caused by that, but you are a creator. Lord, divine healing itself is just a down payment of the resurrection. So what is divine healing? A temporary body change in a part of our body. I pray in the name of Jesus you'd move for him, Lord. May the Spirit of God touch him, Lord. Make him well. The difficulty of breathing, whatever more that he has, may the Spirit of God relieve that from him, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the church said, amen. Do you believe it? Amen. Are you an apostolic church? Are you the book of Acts? Bless you, saints. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Have Brother Darrell, if you will, come and dismiss us in prayer. God bless you. I'll see you, Lord willing, again this weekend. Brother Darrell.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful privilege it is to hear the truth. Amen. Let's just bow our heads and our gracious Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful, Lord, that we can gather here at your table and feast from the unadulterated Word of God, Lord. Hallelujah. Not mixed with man's ideals or creeds, dear God, but simply your Word, Lord. Realizing, dear God, as your prophet said, we become the Word as we receive that Word, Lord. The vitamins of the Word bringing us to our body change. Lord, we just ask now as we depart company, Lord, may we just take your presence with us. And those who are traveling tonight, Lord, in the rain and the wind and the storms, give them traveling grace, Lord, we pray. Lord, those that are afflicted with the flu and the sickness, the stomach viruses, it's, Father, we just ask, Lord, may your spirit move among our people, dear God. And may these things leave the ranks, we ask, Lord. We're so glad that we can call upon you in a time of need, Lord, knowing that you've never failed your people, Father. We just commit this service, Lord, into your hands for your glory. Ask that you go with us now and bring us back safely this weekend. The word come across the pulpit once again. We commit our lives into your hands for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated.
Thank you, Lord.
You may be dismissed.
Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we hear these names, Lord. We bring them before you tonight. We know that you're powerful, Lord. Lord, I have issues in my body. What pain can be, Lord. You see the battles of the elements of everything, God. Lord, not where it should move, Lord, God. Lord, you said that lay your hands on the sick and that shall recover. We believe your word tonight, Father, and receive this desire in their heart to be able to come to the house of God, to be able to hear your word and worship. We lay our hands upon the miserable tonight, Father. We should make the word of God, Father, in Jesus' name.
Prayed for him, the Lord healed him right then. That's our God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen.
And the church said, amen.